Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, crypto nerds of all ages. My name is Monty, and I have a special guest here today. Harish, the founder of FXDX, is going to join us in just a moment and talk about the future of DEXs. Algorand's newest DEX has a bright future. Let's give him a listen. Thank you so much for joining us today. The Crypto Nerd family, the Algorand family, the Nerd Herd is very welcoming and happy that you decided to join us here today. For those of the audience that are not familiar with you or the FXDX project, would you be willing to give us just maybe a quick introduction of yourself, the project, and maybe just how you came to be in crypto in general? And then we could dive into just a few questions regarding the project.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Monty, thank you so much for inviting me here and, you know, giving me this chance to talk to the Algo fam. So what we are doing is essentially create, this is a platform where people can trade perps, which are futures without any expiry date. And what we are doing is essentially and only particularly for ASA tokens and Algorand. So let's say, you know, people can come and trade Algorand on a platform in a decentralized environment on leverage and go long and short, long or short on it, long and or short on it. And they can do the same for ASA tokens. So any tokens that have been built on Algorand chain can be listed on a platform and people can leverage up or down on those tokens to implement various trading strategies. So that's the platform about. We just went mainnet, but you know it wasn't an overnight.
Congratulations! Process. Yes, I know it wasn't a smooth process, but that's why you do this, you know, early on to try and overcome some bumps in the road, right?
Absolutely, and you know it wasn't an overnight process. Even though we went mainnet, you know, a few days ago, we actually started in September 21 when you know we got into Draper Acceleration Program. This Draper Acceleration Program was sponsored by Borderless Capital and Algorand Foundation. And it was the first time, you know, we came across, you know, in-depth introduction to Algorand technology and were super fascinated by what it has to offer. And we felt like, well, this is the future of finance. And before I talk about anything further, I would like to, you know, give you a little bit of background of myself.
Yeah, please do.
So I grew up in India. I went to college in Boston at Tufts University, and after graduating from Tufts, I worked on Wall Street from institutions like Morgan Stanley, Barclays, a $30 million hedge fund. So I've always been passionate about finance, but when I saw the opportunity in blockchain, I was like, wow, this got to be the future of finance. So I quit my corporate job at Barclays Investment Bank, where I was an economist. And then I started my first venture in crypto, which was on securities tokens. So I did that for a couple of years and, you know, realized that security tokens is not something that is going to take off anytime soon. Even though a lot of people in crypto talks about crypto that are classified as securities and, you know, the big games like Ripple and all of that, the actual market for them is really far at the moment. Yeah, so
such a great area moving forward. It's a it's not quite mature enough yet, right?
Right. Yeah. So I left that after 3 years of work, and you know we had some amazing partners, such as the guy who sold bonds.com. He was my partner in that venture. He sold his last company called bonds.com to London Stock Exchange. So he's really smart, but that venture didn't really take off. So I moved on in January of 21. I was like, well, it's time for me to do my next venture. But this time, I'm not just going to jump to it, right? So what I did was, one thing was I wasn't willing to take a less twide path. I wanted to take a little bit more twide path where I could see more promise and, you know, clear results. Mm-hmm. So from January 21 to May or June 21, I didn't do anything other than just research.
Research, that's it. You just looked that's around and try to figure out what's next, okay?
Yeah, so I actually am from research background. So I used to do business research for Morgan Stanley and Barclays, right? So I'm like, next 6 months, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to do research. And after 6 months of research, I came to the conclusion that derivatives is it. Derivatives, it is. Why? Because derivatives is the largest asset class on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It is so big that when you combine the entire global stock market, bonds market, real estate market, you still cannot get to the size of what derivatives market can actually do.
Right. But just for the audience, can you quickly just describe what a derivative is? Because it's not something we run into maybe typically unless they watched, The Big Short maybe or something like that.
Yeah. So derivatives is essentially, as the name suggests, it is derived from something, mm-hmm. and the underlying value of its asset remains in the native asset, right? Mm-hmm. Derivatives is just different kinds of financial products that helps you execute your trading strategy in a lot more professional manner than just going and buying Apple stock on the spot market,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's derivatives in simple and short. And there are different kinds of derivatives. One is futures, one is options, and then there's structured products, and then you can go on and on, even in futures and options. So what we are doing is we are doing futures, and in futures, there's a subsection called perps, perpetual, and the founder of Perpetual is BitMEX.com. So after doing 6 months of research, I was like, wow, nobody talks a lot about this, even in financial markets, traditional TradFi, as well as DeFi, but derivatives is the largest opportunity in front of us. So when I started to look into, the crypto markets, and when you see the biggest guys like Sam Bankman or CZ, or Huobi or OKCoin. I mean, most of these guys made most of the money in futures and derivatives,
mm-hmm.
right? In the perps.
Yeah.
They didn't make most of the money in spot
Trade
markets
trades.
Or Coinbase, right? They made most of the money in futures and derivatives and different kinds of options and all of that. And that's also true for the traders. The traders made most of the money in derivatives. So that's the first thing I came across. So it's like, well, let's do something in derivatives, but felt like CeFi was already very crowded. Pretty much everyone else was doing this. So like, I really want to do derivatives, but I also don't want to get into a crowded market. So there was a solution. Then I started to look into DeFi, and then I was like, in the summer of 21, there really wasn't anyone other than DYDX and maybe one or two. So I was like, well, I should, go that path because I was actually an economist, right? I did a lot of macro. So my approach has always been top down rather than bottom up.
Okay.
So I look at the landscape top and from there I go down of what's the right.
Big picture trends.
Big picture trends, which is called top down on Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And bottom up is essentially an equity research analyst who looks at a company or a sector and said, this is the right company to invest in, or this is going to go up or down. And, choose a company and then, say where the sector is going. So that's like a bottom-up approach, but I'm more like a macroeconomist kind of guy. So I always did a top-down approach. So my approach was, okay, derivatives, it is. But like CeFi is not going to work for me because it's already too crowded. Then I want to get into DeFi. So I got into DeFi and I was like, it was only DYDX. And then it was the another one called perp.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perp5. So I'm like, well, this seems to be a massive opportunity. And it is also the right time to start because DeFi spot has started to stagnate now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now the next generation of companies in DeFi are going to be derivatives. So I'm like, let's do it, right? So I started to build this company then. So that's when the whole thing started. And then I started to apply the acceleration programs and, we got into Draper Algorand acceleration program.
And that was almost a year ago, right?
Yeah, that was like September or something, September 21.
I follow. So you're more of a big picture type of guy, and you're planning for, you know, you're thinking, okay, derivatives are the next big thing for Algorand, for blockchain in general. There's nobody else really kind of doing it in this particular space. I mean, you've got room to grow in multiple blockchains as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's already, even in DeFi, it's already a very big thing.
Yeah.
To give you one example, who is the number one DEX right now at the moment? DeFi DEX, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not Uniswap. If you look at the volumes, you know, on most days, DeFi DEX easily beats up Uniswap in the volumes. So the person right now who's, I mean, the platform who's doing the most volumes right now is actually DYDX. And DYDX on most days beats up Uniswap. And those are the only two DEXs which are doing well. And, you know, once DYDX also implements Spot, I mean, DYDX is just going to be number one because Uniswap cannot beat it unless Uniswap also decides to do perps.
Yeah. So the optionality, people want futures, they want perpetuals, they want these other options available to them. And as the market matures, people get smarter and more intelligent about their trading habits, and they want to grow to that next level. Is that the overall trend?
See, I don't think it as a trend. I think it as a need. Mm-hmm. These are financial structured products, mm-hmm. which traders want to maximize their returns while managing their risks.
Mm-hmm.
It has already been there in VetFi. It has already been there in centralized crypto. I did not see any reason for it to not be into, you know, decentralized crypto.
Okay, good. I know you've got a large team. It's been great to watch your presence sort of grow. Your marketing team on Twitter has done a great job. I saw a contest the other day. Nice to see the winner announced and that process. I don't know how much you're involved with that sort of thing. But I see your marketing is growing. I see that you know, your volume has grown over the last 24, 48 hours, right? I think you hit a quarter of a million in volume. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. There was a little bit of a hiccup yesterday. There was an exploit, I think, that somebody from the community had found. This person, I believe, is still remaining anonymous as of right now. Can you walk us through, you know, what happened there and what steps are being taken?
Briefly. Yeah. So first of all, I'd like to make this crystal clear that no exploit happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what happened was, a very well-regarded person in the crypto community and a technical person who is very good with Algorand blockchain, and, you know, his position is very senior in the algo fam. Mm-hmm. He reached out to us saying that there is a loophole in the system and it has a potential to be exploited.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Given we were in the early stages, right? And, you know, there hasn't been like huge movement. We were like, we should immediately take care of it,
mm-hmm.
right? So we mm-hmm. immediately went to maintenance mode and, you know, started to work on the issue. And it took about 6 to 8 hours or something like that to resolve the issue and go back live. But what happened was, since we went into maintenance immediately without informing the users, some of the users got liquidated.
Got it. Okay.
And so when some of the users got liquidated, we directly, you know, communicated with them and compensated any of the losses in 100%.
Got it. Okay. So there were a few people impacted negatively, but you made them whole so that they were compensated correctly.
Absolutely. So we were discussing on our Telegram channel, and those users got connected to us, and we compensated them 100% to the users who got liquidated due to us being in maintenance mode and them not able to access the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And you're back up now. The loophole, you know, was closed, so to speak.
Yeah.
There is some chatter in the community about the importance of audits. And I know you're not audited yet. I know that you're in queue to be audited. What do you think the role of audit should be in companies such as yours? And what is your what's your plan when that happens?
See, regarding the audit, this is my viewpoint. I have also been a part of AlgaFam for over a year, or almost about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, you know, multiple developments taking place in the Algo community. So one of the, you know, famous hacks was of Tinyman. Tinyman got hacked, and, yeah, you know, everyone was very, very upset why it happened, and you know, they got impacted, and it wasn't much of like financial loss. Yes, it was kind of big, but it was more of, you know, trust, and you know, that thing got eroded, and people are like, well, we cannot trust any new platform anymore because we don't know what could happen, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's not like Tinyman wasn't audited. Tinyman was audited by multiple people, multiple well-known firms in the market. Mm-hmm. And our estimation is they probably paid like $500,000 to $1 million or something like that to get everything audited.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And even after that, the hack happened. So that got me thinking that only because we get the platform audited, it doesn't mean everything is resolved. And it's hack-proof, and you know, you can put your life savings on it, and you don't have to worry about anything because nothing could go wrong. So what we did was we partnered with a friend of mine who runs a Netherlands-based company, and he has been in the trading space helping billion-dollar companies all over the world, and he grew up as a white hacker, right? Mm-hmm. A ethical hacker. Mm-hmm. So we have been working with him since the inception of the company on security.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was we made a list of all kinds of security audits, security hacks that has happened in the DeFi space in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we bulletproof our platform against all kinds of hack that has happened in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So that's the first thing we did. And you know, we were confident that, well, all the kinds of different kinds of hacks that took place in DeFi space is not going to happen with us because we have already bulletproof our platform against it. So that was the first step we took. And then, you know, we also ensured that any specific algorithm risks were also covered into it, such as, you know, PyTeal has its PyTeal, which is the language via which people build an algorithm, mm-hmm. Is also covered in that particular deck.
Mm-hmm.
And we proof our platform against it. But then again, you know, being an early stage company, being in the market only for a few days, I wouldn't say we are as matured as someone like DYDX or Uniswap, and you know, we're still building, and Algorithm ecosystem is also kind of new. So there isn't a lot of infrastructure, which is mm-hmm. built and already scaled up super high. So we also have to deal with that. So with all of that said, we are maturing, and you know, someone as senior like the anonymous person reaching out to us and you know, sharing the feedback is only a testament to the fact that there's only one thing that he could find.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, that is good. So you partnered with somebody in the industry who has lots of experience accessing and identifying exploits for in a positive way, let's say, and did a commendable job producing everything to date. There was one possible loophole that was found that you took care of, it sounds like, but you are still planning on getting an audit as well, right? They're just expensive or they're delayed?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Now, there are two things in the audit. First of all, it's definitely very expensive. You know, it's not like you can just take out your pocket change and give it to them and they're like, well, it's done. And then if you keep them on retainer, then that's also expensive because it keeps on recurring costs every month. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, it's a small thing. Get it done and get it out of the way. We wish. Right. And second thing is a lot of these audit companies have a massive backlog. So if you contact them now, they're like, oh, yeah, let's do a deal. They're like, yeah, sure. So the next availability is November.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God. So those are the two issues. But that doesn't mean, you know, we are not getting audited. You know, in fact, security is our number one priority, and it has been since the inception of the company. And, you know, we have taken a lot of steps and measures to ensure that, you know, any exploitation do not take place, because other than most other people, you know, it first affects us as well, because then what we have built over the last few months, over a year, everything gets destroyed overnight, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's also us getting impacted. So it's not just the users as well, but of course that's a number one priority. And, you know, and as we mature, as we grow, as we move ahead, you know, we are going to, you know, produce publicly audited results by one or more well-known audit companies in the AlgoFam.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I think finding a loophole or something along those lines, and being transparent about it, and saying, okay, here's our audit, and your audit is slated to take place next month. Did I understand that correctly? Or maybe 6 weeks from now, something along those lines.
That's what we're targeting to get it done by then.
Okay. Yeah. Those steps, they just go a long way with the community, right? And I don't think we don't always have to do everything. It's a weird space, because sometimes in traditional business, you wouldn't have to release a plan like this. But in our space, they just expect that, crypto blockchain projects are super transparent, and, blockchain doesn't lie. So everybody wants to know everything all the time. And you don't even have an IDO yet, right? So I know you're planning an IDO. Hopefully we'll get you, incorporated with the Algo Fund team, something along those lines. I know that's coming up here for you and growth in general, but you've already got a strong backing. Can you talk to us just a little bit about your investors and, original funding from, from last September, I guess, till now?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, the company actually got started with the seed funding from Borderless Capital and a grant from Algorand Foundation. Mm-hmm. And this was all a part of Draper Algorand Blockchain Accelerator. Mm-hmm. So the money that we received from Borderless, we used it to register the company. Mm. So that was the first step. And, we got registered in Singapore BVI. Mm-hmm. So the foundation is in Singapore, and the actual limited company is in BVI. So that's where the token come out of, the BVI entity. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing we did. And then, as we got out in the market and started to raise capital, we got some, a lot of investors. And, I was based out of Dubai then. So we also got a lot of investors in Dubai, in Middle East. But some of the well-known names we also got backing from was Shisha Finance, X Network Capital, Ripple, Shima Capital, GSR, a new crypto company called Firechain, which just got valued at $1.5 billion and raised $100 million. They also invested into us, Valhalla Capital, ZeroX Ventures. So there's a long list of investors that have invested and backed us. Some of them you have already gone through in the list we shared with you privately. So these are some of the names.
Yeah, a lot of well-known names. A couple of new names I hadn't recognized before, but lots of well-known names. It's nice to see these folks have reviewed, kind of peeked under the hood, looked at you, your team, and said, "Yep, we want to invest and give you some seed money. We want to see this go through." That's always important to me to see, like, okay, these other folks, these larger entities have done their due diligence and said yes. Gives me some confidence when I look at their portfolios. That sort of thing, I think, is a positive move. So what's the next big thing for you, for the company? What's the next biggest milestone that you're looking forward to here before the end of the year?
I feel like I'm very comfortable to say that we have entered into a growth company phase, very early stages of growth company. And everyone is a startup. Even Airbnb is a startup. But technically, I'm comfortable to say we have entered into a growth phase company where we have left the startup idea. We have left the startup phase behind us. And, the startup mentality and everything else is there. But I think we can easily classify ourselves as growth stage startup firm. And right now the focus is really, really focusing on growth, because everything else is on the table. Team, product, financing, legality. So a lot of things is already there. For now, we need to reach metrics, the right metrics. And we need to get to metrics where we have clear definition of our CAC, LTV, and all of that, so we can go raise growth capital, right? So our next milestone really is to grow the venture to a point where we have clear metrics to raise next round of financing. So raising financing is not the next milestone. The next milestone is reaching these metrics to become a crystal clear growth stage firm, ready to scale and, you know, diversify its product.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're well on your way towards capturing all those metrics and growing your TVL and moving forward. I am looking forward to FXDX with open eyes. I want to see that growth. I want to see what comes next to you. Harish, I appreciate you hopping on the channel, for sharing with us today, kind of opening up a little bit. Like I said earlier, we love that transparency. So maybe when the time comes, you hit those new milestones, will you join the channel again and give us more updates?
Thank you. Absolutely. Right.
Thanks for everyone. Thanks for watching. We appreciate everybody's time. As always, I am your crypto nerd.
Thanks, Monty.